experience, and a name you can trust. Or whatever else those news anchor promos use. On 105.5 and 97.5, The Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Third and final hour of the week on a game day, a pregame show. We got a lot to discuss, and we're heading now to our final guest of the day, the big dog, ESPN play-by-play voice, Roy Philpott joins us. Good morning, Roy. How you doing this morning?
Gentlemen, doing well. Hope you guys are doing good, too.
Oh, we're blessed, man. We're absolutely blessed. I am so fascinated to hear about your game last week. You had a good one. You had James Madison, who is going to get an awful lot of play here in the next couple of weeks. What you learn about the Dukes? What you think about the Dukes? Are they good enough on defense? Obviously, the offense is rolling at this point in time right now. To give us an idea, what was your game like last week?
Well, it was competitive. Marshall came back and had a chance to do some things driving. I think they were down 5 in the fourth quarter. Before JMU kind of figured it out and scored a late touchdown to pull away. But, yeah, very competitive. Very impressed with JMU head coach Bob Chesney. I think he's going to be a candidate at a lot of places. I don't know if it's Virginia Tech. I don't know if it's UCLA. I don't know where it is. But if you're looking for a name maybe that's under the radar that could land one of the Power Four openings, I think he would be it. Super impressed with him, with his staff. You know, his defensive coordinator, Mickey, was the co-defensive coordinator at Alabama last year. And most people don't realize that. Like, I just kind of stumbled onto it late in the week, just getting ready, trying to figure out his background. And he's got some talent, and he's got some really good coaches. And look, JMU, whether we like it or not, is in position for the college football playoff. And that could be at the expense of the ACC. That could be, you know, in position if a team in the American, you know, stumbles and maybe loses a couple of games and ends up winning the American Conference Championship. JMU is right there and, you know, ready and waiting. Now, do I think that they're a team pound for pound that's ready to win a college football playoff game? I don't. I think the teams in the American are a little bit better, and especially a team like South Florida at the line of scrimmage. You know, they kind of pass the eye test, and they've got some resume-building wins this year. But you never know, and I think JMU, if you watch what they did against Louisville back in week two, they had a second-half lead and had some opportunities in that game before falling with a late Isaac Brown touchdown. So, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, mathematically, they're definitely in it. Good team, great coach, and I think JMU would be fortunate to be able to bring him back next year. I don't know if I see that happening.
Interesting in that, you know, we could have no ACC and two group of five. My thing is, if it's Duke, you can't have three out of conference losses. I understand, you know, all of that. It will play itself out, but it's interesting you saw them. And now you get the team that I really feel like certainly is, a huge playoff contender. You get Alex Golich, you get South Florida, 24th ranked South Florida tomorrow noon, ESPN2. Are you already in Annapolis or on your way to Annapolis now?
Yeah, I'm getting ready to head out the door to fly up there. We've done all of our meetings this week, and Navy's a first class operation. They always take us out to dinner the night before at a really nice restaurant, steakhouse up there in Annapolis. So we get all of our work done before today, and then we look forward to tonight. It's always a fun trip up to Annapolis.
You know, you've probably been affected this shutdown thing because you're doing basketball. Yeah. And I want to ask you about some basketball maybe here in a second, too. But what did you notice over the last couple of weeks? I mean, how much of a change in schedule was it for you, driving compared to flying and maybe some places?
Yeah, that's a great question. Last week I did drive, if you remember, to Huntington for that game. I think I was talking to you in Kingsport, Tennessee at the time just to avoid the headaches. Now, Huntington's not an easy place to get to begin with. You can fly into the airport that's right there or into Charleston. It's very mountainous, and sometimes it feels a little dicey trying to land in there. But I just decided to drive up because there were a lot of flight cancellations. Now, Monday of this week, I had Florida State in basketball, which was another great game. And I had two flights canceled to Gainesville. One happened 48 hours before the trip was supposed to start, the other one within 24. So I ended up just driving to Charlotte to grab a direct flight down to Gainesville. So that was interesting. That's really the only major changes I've had. And, you know, look, man, those things can come at you, and it's at any point, so you have to be ready. So basically, if I'm within driving distance of where I need to be, you know, I kind of feel like I have that security blanket. But if I'm not, then I definitely try to fly out that first flight the day before the game to make sure that we're able to get there. And generally speaking, when you're traveling, that first flight out is your, I don't want to say safest bet, but it is. And the later in the day that you wait, the more of a chance, I think, that you have a cancellation or two. So, yeah, it's definitely impacted us. And we've gotten notes from our bosses. And, you know, we can't fly in the same day anywhere in any sport right now because your flight could get canceled. And then at that point, you know, obviously you're leaving your crew in a bad spot. So,
you know, I never give advice, and
I'm hoping that it gets cleared up pretty soon here now that the government's coming back.
Yeah, I never give you too much advice, but you know, I always told you about the armrest stuff. Yeah, the first flight, man, that's the one because, you know, you're not waiting on a plane coming in or a crew member or something like that. So that's always good for sure. You feel like you go home to Navy, like you've done so many games in Annapolis, and you love Horvath. Again, the other advice I give you, man, get the guy's cell phone number. Like, make the hookup with Horvath this weekend. But you feel like you're going home? Because Annapolis, you do so many games. I know it's such a special place for you.
Yeah, I mean, we've had Horvath, you know, I want to say in 4 or 5 starts the last 2 years. And, you know, we met with him yesterday. And, you know, I was like, hey, you know, Blake, last time we saw you was the Temple game. And he just looked at me and he paused and he goes, man, I just want you to know. He goes, my kids are going to know your voice. and they're going to know your name. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, well, like that is that fourth down touchdown run of the 2-point conversion. You know, he could recite the call off the top of his head again. So, yeah, man, he's up there for me. He's impossible not to root for. And, you know, he's going to be a Navy pilot when he's done. You know, he's not an NFL guy. Navy does have some NFL players. Eli Heidenreich, I think, has got a chance. You know, and all the coaches I've spoken with that have faced him feel like he's got a chance to play in the NFL. And Brian Newberry confirmed that to us yesterday. But Horvath isn't that kind of guy. But, man, you know, 17-5 as a starter. He helped put Navy football back on the map. They got a chance to win the American this year, win the CIC trophy again. So, dude, just one of my favorite guys I've covered for sure for a variety of reasons.
You can tell him that your kids know his name.
Yeah, they do.
All right, this South Florida turnaround has really been amazing. You know, Jeff Scott's a friend. I talked to him about the challenges that they've had there. And he, by the way, I give him a part of the success because he was part of the fundraising of getting the money for practice facilities and some of those things and fighting that battle that Golich is winning right now. But you got to give Golich an awful lot of credit. What is it about him? You spent some time with him before, and we've known him from his Tennessee days, his Illinois days, Iowa State days. What is it about him? And because you are great at identifying these up-and-coming candidates, he's obviously going to be a name we're going to hear a lot about in the next month.
Man, he is just so transparent, and he'll be the first to tell you. Like, he doesn't BS anybody. You know, in our meetings with the TV crew, I don't know if there's anybody better. I mean, you can ask him, you know, anything from, you know, first play from scrimmage, you know, what just he's just really good. He's really good as a people person. He's really good as a CEO of the South Florida program. You know, after his first year, I asked him about this week. He gave up play calling, basically gave those responsibilities to Joel Gordon, a guy that he knows very well going back to his days at Iowa State. And they kind of have a collaborative effort, but it's Joel Gordon's offense. And I have so much respect for that and how he's jumped into the fundraising arm at South Florida. Yeah, Jeff's right. Obviously, he knows better than anybody. Not an easy job. Right. You know, it's kind of a transient school, commuter school. It feels like a huge student population, but it's just not like the typical campus where everybody's right there and, you know, they've been playing their football at Raymond James Stadium away from campus. It's about a 25-minute drive in Tampa if you've ever been down there. And, you know, Alex Golis has jumped in there with 2 feet, you know, trying to get the on-campus stadium working and all those different things. And he's met with boosters and just checked every box you possibly can. So, yeah, he's a candidate everywhere. I mean, he is, and rightfully so, because he won 7 games his first year, got South Florida to a bowl, did the same thing year two. And right now, I mean, Mickey, you turn on the film, you know and you understand, they look like a power four team.
Yep.
They won at the Swamp when Florida was still Florida and ranked in the top 15 with DJ Lagway and Billy Napier still doing the stuff. And, you know, they got to win these next couple of games to get to the playoff. but they're knocking on the door. And I think they're the team that if they get in there, you know, pinning the matchups, they could do some damage, and they could take a Texas or an Ole Miss or, you know, whomever you want to put in there, BYU, into the fourth quarter and have a chance to do some things. So all that is the result of Alex Golish, his ability to, you know, develop Byron Brown, who is on track at quarterback to throw for 3,000, rush for 1,000 yards this year. You know, it's only been 11 players in college football history that have done that. So, yeah, Alex Golish, I don't know if he's going to be there next year or not, but I do know he's going to have opportunities to take jobs somewhere else, and certainly you understand why with his track record, his recruiting, his development, and just, hey, South Florida's got a chance to be a playoff team this year. There's really not, you know, much more else you could say.
Roy Philpotts, I guess, ESPN play-by-play voice. ESPN 2 tomorrow, noon, South Florida at Navy. Roy, I don't know all the tiebreakers, but East Carolina, North Texas, Tulane, South Florida, Navy, all with one loss. I'm sure you know those scenarios there. With that said, is it as simple as tomorrow as an elimination game maybe for the American Conference?
I feel that way, and the tiebreakers get pretty deep pretty quick, and the fact that you got five teams with one loss is just, I mean, it's maddening. Now, Navy's path is interesting because the only loss was to North Texas, but they actually have one more win than everybody else. So if you look at who Navy has down the stretch, you got South Florida tomorrow, and then you've got a road trip to Memphis that Thanksgiving weekend and a bye week in between. So Navy only has two more league games. They're one up on everybody because they're 5-1 in the league. So, yeah, if Navy wins tomorrow, then I think if they handle their business at Memphis, which is not going to be easy, they would be one of the two teams in, just simplistic approach with that. If they lose, then, yeah, I think a two-loss team in the American at this point is probably not going to make it given the logjam at the top. And, you know, for South Florida, after they get through Annapolis tomorrow, if they win that game, you're at UAB with an interim head coach in Alex Mortensen, and then you get Rice in Tampa. So both of those games are very winnable. So, yeah, it does feel like the winner of this game, if it's South Florida, I mean, I don't see them slipping up in those final two games. You know, we'll see. Rice did upset Navy last year, which was a pretty big shocker at the time. So you never know. But if South Florida wins, you feel pretty good about their chances in the American Championship. If Navy wins, well, then it just comes down to beating Memphis on the road Thanksgiving weekend. And if they do, I obviously they're going to be in too. So, yeah, the loser is going to be on the outside looking in for sure. And so Navy's still got a chance to win the conference, and South Florida has a chance to win the conference and go to the college football playoff. All that on the line tomorrow.
Memphis has a lot to say here because they go to East Carolina with one of the losses that, and they host Navy with one of the losses. I think South Florida's got a pretty easy run at it. Yeah. Tulane, oh, by the way, has FAU, who is 4-5. They have at Temple. And Temple's improved at 5-5, and then they have Charlotte, who's 1-8. So maybe Tulane has a pretty good run at it. Maybe a little South Florida Tulane or a North Texas, you know, and South Florida. That might be an interesting one there too. So a lot.
And all those coaches too for those schools you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, Eric Morris at North Texas, Alex Golish at South Florida, Ryan Silverfield at Memphis, John Summerall at Tulane. I mean, it doesn't connect and think, okay, could Summerall end up at Auburn? Could Silverfield end up at Arkansas? You know, and you know, where could Eric Morris go and some of these other guys? So, and Alex Golish, I mean, Alex Golish, we've seen him mentioned everywhere from, you know, Penn State on down the line. And a lot of that depends on what Lane Kiffin decides he wants to do. So, you know, the American could be looking at some pretty big turnover next year in the coaching realm. But right now, I mean, it's a feeder system, it feels like, into the Power Four. And as soon as the season ends, whichever team doesn't make the playoff, those coaches have a chance to jump into the Power Four, I think, pretty quickly. It's some pretty big-name schools.
All right, you led my final question with that because you're meeting with these guys. And I know – I mean, my guess is you don't approach that subject with these guys, but in not specifically maybe, but like, how do you handle the big picture of all that attention? A lot of athletic directors listen to Philpott. I watch the Philpott game every week to see their maybe the next coaching candidate out there. With that said, like, do you bring it up at all, and can you watch and see the pressure mounts of these guys and these big time programs coming after these guys?
I do bring it up, and you know, look, I would be lying that Florida State Stanford game that we called a month ago, you know, and you see Mike Norvell meeting with his athletic director, offered, you know, on the field out at Stanford for about 30 minutes before kickoff. You know, I was making sure our crew was filming that conversation because it felt, it didn't feel insignificant would be the way I would frame it. And you're calling the game, and yeah, I'm mindful of what's being said and how we're approaching it because, you know, you do feel the impact of, okay, if Florida State loses, you know, what's the tone here? Like, what does this mean in regards to the direction of the program? You know, watching him meet with his athletic director pregame, things of that sort. I don't mind telling you, you know, I asked Alex Golish yesterday, I said, hey, do your players come up to you and ask you, are you going to be here next year? And he said, you know, that's a good question. And he goes, I haven't had one single player ask me that. And I said, why is that the case? And he goes, well, if you were in our facility right now and you walk through the hallway and you stop one of our players and said, hey, where are you? He would say, right here, right now. He goes, I'm not thinking, I'm not planning, I'm not projecting anything outside of where I am. He said, Roy, I'm talking to you right now for these 30 minutes, and my focus is on talking to you and being the best that I can be for these 30 minutes. When I'm done, I'm not going to remember or think about this conversation ever again. I'm on to the next thing. He goes, that is how our team is constructed. So he goes, I would tell you if it's happened. It hasn't happened one time because we are dialed in on this moment. That's the only way that we can be. And he goes, I take that same approach. Now, the outside noise, what happens on social media, all these different things, our process is designed to completely eliminate that. And he goes, and so everybody on our staff, everybody in our administration, we have all bought into that concept. So he said, right here, right now, that's where it is. That's why nobody's asked me about it because it's not a concern. It's not an issue. So, yeah, I mean, a long-winded answer to your question. I do bring it up. I am interested in it. And it's something that, you know, if the circumstances present themselves, you know, tomorrow in Annapolis, South Florida's winning the second half, of course, you know, the playoff potential, yeah. Alex Golish, you know, what's being said, what's being written. And then what did he say when we asked him that question? So, yeah. You have to do that in my spot, and, you know, sometimes it is uncomfortable, and sometimes, you know, maybe you hear something you don't want to hear, but for the most part, these guys get it, they understand, and you know, we're not out there to get them or to catch them, you know, doing something. You know, we're reporting what's happening, and it would be, you know, irresponsible to not broach those subjects with these guys.
All right, I got to get this in, though, because you sent it. Matt in the Big Brown Truck, who you know, says, Roy, do you feel old? Lead singer, widespread panic, singing the national anthem in Athens Saturday night. You and Larry Williams, a sleigh ball, you used to go to frat houses. Did you go to frat houses to see widespread panic?
Man, I want to say at Clemson, I booked widespread panic for one of the concerts we did for Sigma Chi back in the day. I think that was the case. Panic fan. Me and Larry Williams actually went to one of those concerts when I was on the Clemson beat. I want to say maybe like 08, 07 down in Atlanta. So I do feel old. I feel old. Put that in that category for sure, Matt.
Widespread panic. Hey, great call tomorrow. Get yourself a Horvath cell phone number. Have a great weekend. And any idea to next week? You got the assignment yet? Or are you waiting?
No, and look, man, we're kind of on watch. I know I'm doing the MAC championship game up in Detroit, that conference championship weekend, but the next two weekends we have no idea, and there's always the chance that we land in Columbia for the annual rivalry grudge match like we did last year. So we're kind of on watch, waiting to see and waiting to find out. It falls kind of in our time slot and in our realm, but you know, I'm not really sure. So, yeah, everybody's kind of on pins and needles waiting to see how the schedule ends up.
Well, the only way you can do it is you and Perry Clark will be doing the game from Columbia because you always do those games down there with him anyway. So have a safe trip, buddy, and we'll find out next week where you're going to be.
Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Safe travels, Roy Philpott. All right. We got a little tech issues here. We're going to see if we're going to take a break. I'm not sure if we will or not. Let me set up what we're going to do the rest of the show. Have some good text messages. Our Adams and Co. Rookie text line has been fantastic. So I'll ask you to keep sending those in. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. We'll have open phone lines for the rest of the show. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. Going to talk some Clemson and Louisville, obviously. Now, that's 7:30, so I'm going to give you the what the schedule is going to look like the rest of the day. We'll do that coming up here in a second. We'll also talk about the rest of the football schedule tomorrow, what it looks like. It is a great day. If you're in the area, you know, there's a decent chance you're a Clemson fan, a South Carolina fan, or a Georgia fan. So you actually get to watch all three. 7:30 ESPN tonight, Clemson and Louisville from L&N Federal Credit Union Stadium. Didn't know that was the name of it now. It used to be Papa John's, but I guess pizza's out and banking is in. I wonder how many stadiums are actual banks or credit union now. Anyway, noon tomorrow, ESPN Kyle Field, South Carolina and Texas A&M. And then the big one down in Athens tomorrow night from Sanford Stadium, obviously 7:30 ABC. So I hope you got your thing worked out, your ESPN, ABC, Disney thing worked out for tomorrow. If not, your plans on some of those things. I think hopefully there's some movement through all those things. Who knows? We might get them all back on through all of that. But anyway, looking forward to seeing more of Clemson and Louisville, South Carolina and Texas A&M, and Georgia and Texas. So Sam is off. We got a major computer issue here. And so we're not going to be able to take any breaks. So here's what we're going to do. Love to open up the phone line. Let's get to our text line now. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. A very nice text message from 9170. You have the best segments, Mick. Phil Pott, Dr. Louder, Dane Young, Dr. Martin. That is so very kind of you, 9170. We really appreciate those kind words. And he gets, and many more. Have a great day, brother. Well, you as well. There's nothing better. First, let me say this. We're always rushing to get to break and rushing to come out of breaks and rushing to get stuff on. We got a little time, but I can tell you this now. I just can't believe that you listen every day. You people listen every day and support us every day. So kind of you to do that. We don't thank you enough. Thank you so very much for doing that. 6300 says, Philpott is widespread panic guy. The legend continues. I'll be honest with you. I can't name a widespread panic song. I kind of know it's a jam. I think it's a jam band kind of thing. I'm pretty sure that is the case. Late Murray Michael says, bonus time with Mickey. Don't get no better. Well, I like the English and I like the grammar, so I do like that. It's very nice of you. Texter says, don't forget the Free Weights Johnny segment. Yeah, 706. Free Weights Johnny, a Georgia fan coming through and not waiting in line at concessions, not waiting in line at the men's room tomorrow. And no, because it was, I'm telling you, I got five texts yesterday from buddies of mine that said, Mickey, you have to go to Athens tomorrow. And I am tempted, but I'm not going down there. I got no business in Athens, Georgia tomorrow. 39-66, Roy's not allowed to call our games. We lost when he called our football and basketball games against the Cox last year. Did Clemson lose to South Carolina basketball last year? Yeah, they did. They did. South Carolina went in the tank after that. So maybe we got a Philpott ban through some of those things. Text of the day so far, 68-69. And I appreciate everybody getting in as we work through our tech issues here. Texter said, watching our secondary gives me widespread panic. Larry Wiz, I hope you're listening. Hope you enjoyed that one. Very good for sure. Texas said, Mickey, you got to go do it. The atmosphere is going to be amazing. This is the 706. The atmosphere is going to be amazing. You know, they've done it. We've done a great job. And here's the deal. This is a paper top 10 game. Told you, much like Clemson and Miami in 2020, Texas is not a top 10 team. Texas is not coming out and deal. But if you're a Georgia fan, think about it like this. You spent about the last 3 or 4 years. When's the last time, let's look this up, the last time you had a big game in Athens and you won? And so the point here is you hadn't had very many big games. The other one is, I guess you could say the Ole Miss game. That was a big win. They were ranked fifth at the time, and that was a big win. But if you know what I'm talking about here. I mean, let's admit it, that if you think about it, Georgia – over the last few years, you just had this home schedule. This hadn't yielded a whole lot of great opponents. 2020, you had Auburn come early. Auburn didn't turn out to be that good. You had Tennessee that was ranked 14th at the time, but that was a blowout. You had Mississippi State and Vanderbilt that that was that COVID deal, and you didn't have a full stadium through all that. And in 2021, home games, you had UAB, South Carolina, the 8th-ranked Arkansas. That was a noon game. That was a blitzkrieg ambush game there, in which you won 37-0, blocked some punts, and they kept jumping off sides. Then you had Kentucky, you had Missouri, you had Charleston Southern. Like, there just wasn't any great home games in 2021 if you're Georgia. In 22, you had Samford, Kent State, Auburn, Vanderbilt. You had Tennessee come to town, and that was a big game and a big win for Georgia in that one. And then, you know, Georgia State wasn't good in 22. In 23, if you're Georgia, you had UT Martin, Ball State, UAB, South Carolina, Kentucky. We tried to pretend like Kentucky was good that year. They're ranked 20th. They weren't. You had Missouri. They were good, but not great. That wasn't top 10. You had Ole Miss at home. You just dog blitzed Ole Miss into a big win. That was top 10. But you know what I'm saying. You see my point. At Georgia, last year you had Tennessee Tech, Auburn, Mississippi State. Tennessee was supposed to be a big one. UMass and the Georgia Tech game trying to be good.
Plumber fast.
I always call One Tom Plumber.
One Tom what?
Here, dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. Or just tell your smartphone to call One Tom Plumber. They promise to be there in an hour.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one. Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
Hey there, Tiger fans. Thinking about making Clemson your forever home? Whether you're a recent grad, proud alum, parent of a current student, or just love those orange sunsets over Death Valley, Great Southern Homes has the perfect place for you to settle down in Tiger Town. With our central Clemson communities of Springwood Grove, Edwards Ridge, and Champions Village, Great Southern Homes has a variety of floor plans, endless personalization options, and upgrades to fit your unique taste. Visit GreatSouthernHomes.com today to learn more about our central Clemson communities.
Sitting here again today with our good friend Gary Mahaffey of Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Gary, listener asked, Walt, I have a small business and wonder if Gary would like to work with our employees who are reaching retirement age, and if so, at what charge?
Great and timely question, listener. We have just launched a new service this year doing exactly what you've asked. We will work with small to medium-sized companies who have people retiring and need our Medicare services. In addition to teaching them the Medicare ropes and how to access Medicare, I will call on my old HR background to support what the employer is doing through their retiree benefits package as well. And again, my charge, as always, is zero.
There you have it, listener. Give Gary a call today at 864-307-8484. Again, 864-307-8484. And as always, you will thank me later.
We are here with Eric Snyder of Snyder Tree Care. Eric, you guys can help a lot as far as preparing for those winter storms.
You know, winds come and storms happen, but if your tree is properly pruned, it's not going to fall to the storm like one that isn't. We would recommend that you prune it properly so the wind can get through it. Your tree can be healthy and strong. We don't want to top them out. If you top a tree, you're going to have a bigger problem in 3 to 5 years. You can find us on the web at SchneiderTree.com.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
Clemson Tigers know pride. We feel it under the lights when our players charge down the hill, in every note of Tiger Rag, on Solid Orange Fridays, and in the tracks of our Tiger Paws. The Clemson Jackpot is one more way to keep that pride alive. Every $5 scratch-off funds education, helping future Tigers carry on our traditions. And now it's easier to play by paying with a debit card at participating retailers. The South Carolina Education Lottery, supporting Tigers, students, and you. See the Players Club app or seeducationlottery.com for game odds and more information.
Everyone knows that Low Country Male is the best place to go for low testosterone and ED treatments. Did you know they also offer NAD, BPC, peptides, and GLP-1 programs? The best thing about Low Country Male is it's a one-stop shop to get your testosterone up. Our concierge plans start at just $220 a month and include testosterone, lab work, physicals, unlimited doctor visits, and much, much more. We've been making men men again since 2016. 8 locations in South Carolina and Savannah. LowCountryMail.com.
Accidents happen. If you've been injured in a car, motorcycle, or boating accident, you need to seek legal help as soon as possible. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, can evaluate your case to help you get the full compensation you deserve. The call and the consultation are completely free. Don't wait. Call today. 864-654-3680. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, here for you.
It's the ideal time of year to visit ACD Sports on 123 in Easley. ACD has a great selection of Clemson items for all ages in their Clemson fan shop, plus spiritware for Pickens County Schools. ACD does team uniforms, company caps and polos, embroidery and screen printing, and can set your team, business, or group up with a free online store with items using your logo. Find out why you should have ACD Sports on your team. Open weekdays 9 to 7, Saturdays 9 to 5. ACD Sports, Highway 123, Easley, next to Chick-fil-A.
When you shop for the holidays with AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, you're supporting real folks who care about what ends up on your plate. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market brings together the best of the Carolinas with a farm-to-table spirit, offering fresh, restaurant-quality cuts you'll feel proud to serve. Around here, good food starts with good people. Raised right, prepared right, and shared with love. Good food, good neighbors, great holidays. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, your local farm-to-table butcher.
Some days, my active psoriatic arthritis makes it hard to get in the game. Now, the ball is in my court, thanks to treating my skin and joints with SKYRIZI, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults. Nothing is everything. SKYRIZI helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to SKYRIZI. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With SKYRIZI, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about SKYRIZI and visit SKYRIZI.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donuts in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 7 days a week. Pick up some delicious donuts and a cup of coffee. We'll help you raise money for your club, church, or group of worthy cause. Sell Krispy Kreme Donuts. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kremes.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Takes are hot, and the coffee's even hotter.
Hot coffee?
The Mickey Plyler Show is live on the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Hey, our computers work. Sam, great job.
We have functioning computers for now.
Yeah, let me finish that thought up that I was right in the middle of there. Is that for Georgia fans, and Georgia fans are trying to talk me and going down there tomorrow night. I'm not going. Anyway, this is a paper deal, man. Yeah, this is the top 10, but Georgia, you know this. You know this. Texas is not a threat to Georgia tomorrow night. I'm sorry. Texas can't run the ball. I've watched Texas play. I watched them play Kentucky. I watched them play Mississippi State. This is a different deal. So, Texas said, Mickey, go to Georgia, wear your body cam so we can enjoy it later. Yeah, I don't know. What did I do with my body cam? I can't find my body cam anywhere. The point was, you're so starved at Georgia to have a big game. You had one with Alabama, and they came in and stole your lunch money. That wasn't good. You had one with Ole Miss in a shootout. That was good. So bottom line is you want it to be a big game, but you almost got to talk yourself into it to be a big game because we all know this. Georgia's going to take care of business tomorrow night for sure. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. Couple of this saying Oh, nobody buys your rat poison nonsense, though, by the way. Oh, really? Come on. Text said, make you have two club seats and a 10:30 tee time at Athens Country Club. Come on, go Dogs. You know what? To play Athens Country Club, maybe. That's a good day, by the way. That's a great day. Enjoy it. I've never played Athens Country Club. I heard it's fantastic. That's a great day. Texas said we're doomed now. No, I have nothing to do. What I say, my rat poison has nothing to do with it. I watched Georgia last week. Georgia is a much better football team. This offensive line is coming along right now. You've got the both running backs. You've got four running backs. But both running backs have looked great as of late. And the quarterback's not putting the ball in jeopardy. Have you seen Texas play? Did you watch the Kentucky game? Do I have to remind him again, Sam?
I mean, your Bulldogs, man. Polyester suit is on right now.
It is great.
He's putting it on right now.
I mean, I will remind you again. Let me tell you who Texas actually is. You could, yeah, Hook'em Horns, Matthew McConaughey. They've got the cheerleaders that have the chaps. Yeah, the white helmets, white jerseys. I get all that. But let me tell you who they really are. They're the same team that had. Got out first down by Kentucky 26-8. The same team that had 179 total yards against Kentucky. The same team that had 28 carries for 47 yards against Kentucky. The same team that had to have a miracle finish to beat Kentucky. You're right. I watched them against Mississippi State. The same team that had to have a major punt return. A team that got out first down and outgained by the same team that you boat raced last week. A team that had 72 yards rushing against Mississippi State. Texas can't run the ball. Georgia now has, if you watched Georgia last week, what you saw was an offensive line that is growing up. What you saw was is a quarterback that refuses to turn the football over. What you saw was three tight ends. Don't let Elias Williams get in the game now and start playing great. What you saw for Georgia is Frazier and Bowens in the last couple of weeks, really coming alive. And then you got Wilson and Allen back there blitzing like crazy. Bottom line is, this is going to be a Georgia two-touchdown deal. And I can pretend, oh. And you see, when you win, you'll go, well, we beat top 10 Texas. They were ranked 10th. This is a top 10 deal. Again, Clemson fans, you know what we're talking about. This is Miami in 2020 or 2021, whatever it was. Yeah, they're top 10 on paper, but they're not a top 10 team. This is when NC State was top 10. Remember that? NC State came in top 10 one year. And you knew Clemson was going to boat race them, and
Leary.
They did.
Was that the Devin Leary year?
Yeah, remember that?
That was a game day game, wasn't it?
Yeah, but we tried to pretend like, oh, NC State, they're so good. No, they're not. Georgia's going to destroy Texas tomorrow.
I think it's going to be a close game. I'm playing devil's advocate with you. I think it's going to be a relatively close football game. Yeah. Texas is a good defense. Can they force a couple turnovers? If they force a couple turnovers, all bets are off.
Georgia didn't turn it over.
If anyone's going to force one, it would be Texas.
Maybe. Can I remind you, though, that on this season so far, Gunnar Stockton has thrown two interceptions.
He's a smart cat, man. But good defenses make quarterbacks do stupid stuff.
Two interceptions all year long. Hey, let me tell you about Eggs Up Grill. Sam, I got to be honest with you, man. I'm starving right now. I don't know what it is lately. Maybe it was my stomach bug I had a few weeks ago. But, man, I've been starving at work lately. I need Eggs Up Grill. Go by and do the Eggs Up Grill stuff. Hey, if you're going to the Georgia game tomorrow, get the catering done. Call in and get the tailgate stuff. They pick it up and take it down to Athens tomorrow. For lunch as well, because we think about Eggs Up Grill being breakfast, and they do. I mean, their breakfast is fantastic. But how about the brunch stuff? How about the shrimp and grits? How about the French toast bar? How about the breakfast taco stuff? How about from the lunch standpoint, how about you get all those platters of turkey clubs and the BLTs and the chicken wraps and the turkey avocado club platters, and you get all those great things as well. And then salads. I don't talk enough about their Cobb's and Southwest salads and their berry balsamic salad and the house salad. They do a great job, man. And so get the box lunches. Get the catering done. Do it in Clemson's and Seneca areas. If you got big meetings, you got teams, you got box lunches you need, they take care of all of your catering stuff. Feeding all those visiting teams coming to Clemson, they do it. Eggs Up Grill. Eggsupgrill.com. Catering Click on it, do it, take care of it. It's going to be awesome. All right, Sam. Man, first of all, with the guest and with all of your technical expertise over there, I hadn't seen you, man. How you doing over there?
Better now. I enjoy the ads just firing in the middle of your conversation there. That was a deep filibuster that you were on to.
Well,
25, 30 minutes into the segment, but
that's okay.
You carried through.
Well, let me say
this. We have functioning computers now.
I mentioned this to you before. One of the great things that you do, and this is a little behind-the-curtain stuff here, for Sam, up-and-coming superstar, and a guy's doing play-by-play and color all over the radio, and he's doing all these shows and everything, when you produce, you make sure I have everything I need. You do a great job with that. So, and I tell you that off the air, I tell you that on the air. And then, from a technical standpoint, I just heard John Hyatt tell you, you did everything right in a chaotic computer issue that we had over there that we don't know what's running and how it's running. And the thing, John Hyatt comes in and goes, Sammy did everything right. So thank you.
Every time something breaks, that's one more thing I kind of know how to fix for next time it breaks. The problem is every time something breaks, it's seemingly something I've never seen before. So shout out to John and our IT guy for helping me through that.
Well, you're one of those guys that, yeah, you had the IT guy on the phone doing all that. You're one of those guys that...
I was surprised Philpott's call came through.
But it did, and you did a great job of getting him on all that. You're one of those guys, you don't make the same mistake twice. You just need to go through it once. So good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Hopefully we don't have that happen again.
Yeah.
But it's fun that it always happens at 7 in the morning.
We spent a lot of time with Louisville and Clemson today. We spent a lot of time with Georgia and Texas. I've not spent any time on South Carolina.
You think they're going to cover it?
I do. I think it's a good matchup for South Carolina. And let me give you a couple reasons why. Defensively, I don't trust South Carolina from an offensive standpoint because A&M gets after the quarterback. And Lenora Sellers, for some reason, Sellers takes these inexplicable sacks. And he eats the ball. Instead of throwing, like, all they got to do is throw it away, and he kind of like just falls down back there. But I keep going back to last year, and I don't like the line of scrimmage matchup through all this, but I do like defensively. I think Clayton White put together a game plan against Marcel Reed last year. Reed has been one of the biggest surprises in the country. Remember in the preseason, we saw him in some preseason stuff, and it didn't look very good. But I do like Reed. I think Reed is – you can make a case that Reed might be the best athlete in America, in college football, that is. And here's the thing about him, like, he's pretty much protected it. 19 touchdowns and 6 picks. And that running game they've got going with Owens and Moss and Reed. But I like South Carolina's defense. And I think they can play decent defense. One thing I can tell you is that if they turn it over like they did against LSU, remember he threw a couple picks against LSU. Reed, that is. Reed threw a couple picks. He's always good for, like, one. So if they turn it over, the bottom line, though, is that A&M will pull away. I just don't think 18.5 is enough. I think this is going to be one of those, like, 41-24 deals. Feel like that to you a little bit?
I mean, South Carolina, this is a lot of points.
I know I said defense, but still, you're not going to hold this running game down all day long.
I don't trust anything that South Carolina does on the offensive side of things. I don't think they're going to get to 20, 25 points very often. I do think maybe the interim coach bump on the offensive side of things helps. That was my logic with Auburn last week. It pretty much held until the end of that game, which, close game, nonetheless. Usually teams play up a little bit when somebody gets fired. It's stupid. It shouldn't work that way. I doubt much changes schematically offensively for them this weekend, but they'll probably introduce a few new wrinkles that Texas A&M's not going to have seen on film with a new offensive coordinator coming in to call plays for the last couple weeks. I think they probably get to 20 in this game. If you want them to not cover at that point, that would require Texas A&M to get to 40 points here. I don't think they're going to get to 40 in this game.
Right.
I think they settle around somewhere like 30, 34. I think 34-20, somewhere in that range, keeps it there. I mean, heck, 37-20 would get them a cover. I don't think they're going to win the game or come anything close to it, South Carolina. But I do think for 1 week with a new OC, they can play up a little bit, get Sellers a little bit more comfortable. You can't fix the offensive line with a new play caller, but you can hope that they get the ball out quicker or coach that into Sellers somehow during the week. I don't know. It's really just, for me, that's too many points to believe in.
Let me give you this. Here's the guys at South Carolina that have to play, like, lights out tomorrow.
Sellers.
Yeah, Sellers has to, obviously. Yeah. But give me Goodwine and Barrett. Like, they've got to control the line a little bit tomorrow. If A&M's able to run the football, A&M is very balanced. As a matter of fact, I think A&M – can I talk you into this, Sam? Is A&M the most balanced offense in the SEC?
They might be. It's hard to find one more consistently
Bama
good
can't
in both
run
runs.
It. Georgia's not great. Georgia might be the most balanced. Ole Miss is pretty balanced.
It's all Marcel Reed becoming more efficient as a passer. If he's able to be this efficient throughout the playoff, assuming they get there, which I think they're going to at this point, that's a national championship quality team.
I'd agree with it.
Do they beat Ohio State? I don't think so. I think that's the team that would definitely get to him if they came into that game. But he has been pretty consistently solid and done what he's needed to do, whereas in a lot of games in the last, at least last season, he didn't do what he needed to do to just baseline keep him in the game. So now, it's not like he has to operate as a Heisman QB in these games. He just needs to be solid, and he has been.
Let me give you two things here. Last year, Texas A&M was 7-1 headed to Columbia and lost 4 of their last 5. All right? That's bad news for South Carolina, because Elko has the attention of the locker room heading down the stretch. Remember, they lost to South Carolina, they lost to Auburn, they lost to Texas, and they lost to Southern Cal. They lost 4 or 5 last year after starting 7-1. So Elko has their attention. The good news for South Carolina is that pressure mounts a little bit. Elko, if they had somebody other than Sanford next week, I'd kind of worry about that a little bit, like a look-ahead deal. But I'm a little bit concerned, like Elko is being mentioned at Penn State and that distraction of that a little bit. Like, can you handle success? I mean, they're 9-0, they're ranked 3rd in the country. I think they handle business. But again, I think the Gamecocks are going to cover. Telephone number 654-ROAR. Jersey Jack checks in on a Friday. Good morning, Jack. How you doing?
Doing great out here in my Carolina flooring garage, working a little bit.
There you go. There you go. Looking good, man. I've seen your garage before. Yeah. Looks good.
Yeah, tuxedo finish is really beautiful. Yeah. Hey, I got a good soccer game this afternoon. The ladies can take on Liberty this afternoon at 6 o'clock, so we'll be there tailgating and watching the ladies before we get on the tube and watch a little Louisville Tiger matchup tonight. I'm looking at Gideon Davidson to show out tonight on offense and Sammy Brown on defense, so hopefully we can control their running game and force them to pass a little bit tonight, so maybe we can sneak out a win.
I hope so, Jack. I hope so for sure. And for the girls today as well with the NCAA stuff. So go out to be a beautiful day to do that. So enjoy yourself, man. And enjoy
the
day.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Jack. Big game, Liberty, 6, and then head on for football. I like what he said, control the run game. So, Sam, can I talk you into this? Of our 3 big games this weekend, final thought before we get to Brad Hughes and our 2-minute drill. Can I talk to you in a team that runs the football better tonight between Clemson and Louisville wins the football game?
It would help. It's going to make it a lot easier if you force Miller Moss to win you the game on the other side of things if you're Clemson.
Can I talk you into the team that runs the football better tomorrow, A&M, South Carolina wins the game?
You can talk me into if South Carolina runs the ball better than A&M, they will be in the game. I don't know if you could talk me into them winning the game, though.
But they're not going to run the ball better than A&M.
Competitive, so sure.
Yeah, but and maybe for South Carolina, run the ball better than they have, but they're not going to outrush A&M.
No, probably not. They did
last year.
I simply would like to see South Carolina unleash something offensively that resembles a 2025 SEC college football offense.
All right. Which they haven't done. And then finally, can I talk you into Sanford Stadium tomorrow night? The team that runs the football better wins the game. And Texas is not going to run with Georgia. Bowens and Frazier will have twice the amount of yards that Texas has.
I think whoever wins the turnover margin in that game wins the game.
All right. So we spent all this time on those 3 big local games. I think I'm right by saying this. Your game of the day tomorrow is Notre Dame and Pittsburgh?
It would be hard for me to listen. The SEC is awesome. I mean, the games are going to be awesome. You're going to get a lot of good games there. There's something about that Pitt team right now with a freshman quarterback.
Yeah.
It's very intriguing to me. I think Notre Dame has a very real chance to come out and pound them because that's what Notre Dame's done the last few weeks. And every time, seemingly, you figure this is going to be a close game, other than the Boston College game, which is inexplicable. They seem to handle their business. But, yeah, I mean, that's a really good one. Pitt's got a legitimate chance at a playoff bid if they keep playing the way they are right now. They're not going to necessarily need this game for that, but it would be a heck of a momentum boost going into 2 very good ACC games coming up if they were able to play Notre Dame very close or beat them at home.
Mason Hentschel, the freshman quarterback at Pittsburgh, when you look at his mugshot, or not a mugshot, look at his bio shot, whatever.
His ESPN mugshot, yeah. Kind of.
He looks 12 years old. He'll be able to handle that. Oh, yeah, I agree there, too. And then, obviously, you're talking about C.J. Carr, another freshman, two freshman quarterbacks. And it'll be very interesting to see what comes out of that one. And then don't forget that you could see a Notre Dame transfer at quarterback coming out next year. So we'll see what the market looks like for
On top of that one, USF-Navy is a fantastic game. That's a really interesting game as well. USF's probably the best Group of Five team. They lose that game, it's probably over for them at that point.
Oklahoma-Bama?
Oklahoma-Bama's a good game. You have some sneaky good games in
Iowa,
there as
Southern
well.
Iowa-Southern Cal?
I mean, there are some fun. I think that Virginia Duke game is going to be extremely enjoyable. I also am fascinated by the potential, once again, of a four-loss ACC champion, which is real if Duke keeps winning or finds ways to win in the ACC, which they have not had problems doing. Iowa-USC is a very weird game. Iowa will keep that close. And there's a good slate tomorrow, man.
Here's my Brad Hughes thought for you, Sam.
A lot of coaches on the hot seat, too, still.
Oh, yeah. A lot of guys coaching for their careers maybe tomorrow. Here's my Brad Hughes thought for you, Sam. I've been doing axioms all week for you. Remember this one. They always remember November. Weather starts to turn a little bit. Pressure starts to turn a little bit. Focusing on the playoffs and focusing on coaching jobs and all that, folks, a little bit. Injuries are a factor this time of year. Officiating. There's some things out there, man, you never can tell. They always remember November. Brad Hughes, my Allstate agent. I'm a good hands with Brad Hughes. Good hands with Allstate. 292-3001. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com. Brad Hughes Insurance.com. Better coverage, better rates. We thank our friends at Brad Hughes and Allstate Insurance Agency. I know I save money. We had a caller. If you're doing this, text us in the next week. I'll ask for it again. But we had a texter saving $240 a week. He asked for Brad's number. I gave it to him. Called back the next day or texted the next day and said, I'm saving like $2,500 a year now, over $240 a month now. Love that for sure. Texter said, free my man Mason Hentschel. Didn't know he was locked up. Well, he wasn't. Now, BYU star basketball player, one of the stars, was locked up. You see that this morning?
I did, on a DUI.
Yeah.
At 11:45 p.m.
That ain't good at BYU. Like, of all places, that really ain't good. We'll see.
Not where you want to do that.
I don't know if the computer works or not. Do you want to try the 2 minute?
We're going to try. Let's see if we got music.
Let's see.
Try to get 4 minutes of content into 2 minutes. It's time for the 2 minute drill on WCCP 105.5 The Roar. Now, here's Mickey.
Mickey, one team that's not even my 2 minute drill, but one team we haven't talked about a lot here has two games that seem like ones they should win down the stretch, but in November that has been a problem. Ole Miss has Florida and Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl in the next 3 weeks. Those are their last two games of the season. Is there any chance either of those teams pull an upset?
Nope. Unless look, remember this, Sam. We can't handle success unless they're looking ahead. Ole Miss can beat themselves, but those two teams can't beat them.
My 2 minute drill, I agree with you for what it's worth. I think this is the year they finally get to the playoff and get themselves into that contention level. Couple things. Football game tonight. Listen to all of our pregame shows. We're the pregame show. Faxon's the pregame show. And then you've got actual ones with Quaff and Faxon and all the like. Men's basketball tomorrow at Georgetown at noon. Tune into that game. Throw it on a side screen if you have something that functions that allows you to do that. Women's basketball playing at home on Sunday against 22nd-ranked Louisville. I think they could play in that game. That might be one that they win. Keep an eye on the basketball teams this weekend. Hopefully they win tonight. Clemson wins tonight. They're probably going to a bowl game. That's a decent place to be, all things considered. Try to control the run game and make Miller Moss beat you.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Eric Newton.com. For all real estate needs, get in touch with them. Eric Newton.com, the very best of the business. You want real estate in Clemson? There's one name to call. Eric Newton.com. Buying houses, selling houses, building houses, renovating buildings, commercial real estate, managing rental properties. The guy who will do it all is Eric Newton.com. I did not realize this. This is why hosting this show is so good. Gray and Travelers Rest sends this in. Consider this. A&M has not hosted a home game in a month. Everything has been on the road lately. They hosted South Carolina, one word, yikes. Yeah, it's been since October the 12th. They've been on the road. So, bottom line is they'll be excited to be back tomorrow. Also, Sprinter 412 says, Mickey says, horns down. Go, dog. No, I'm not the horns down guy. And then finally, 1173 said, did you go low with the new irons? I did. Play great with the new irons, and I'll play great with the new irons today, and I'll play great with the new irons on Sunday because I got the best irons made right now. Hey, let me tell you, Sam, great job, man. Of all the times I say thanks, today's a big thanks for you. You did a great job with all of that. Let me thank Scott Reimer, Tiger pregame show, pregame show today, getting back in the old saddle again. Let me thank Josh Williams, John Stilwell, Roy Philpott. Awesome stuff. John and Faxon, are they at Chick-fil-A?
Faxon's there. John's en route.
Okay, good, good. Good stuff there. Have a great weekend, folks. More importantly, tune in on Monday. That's when we will see you right here on the radio.